House of Magic Foundation for the Arts is proud to present Listen Up, Ventura, a Rough Edge Studios production, engineered by R. Scott Bolton and sponsored by The Village Magic Shop.
Imagine a place where the arts come alive. A place where fantasy meets reality. A place where anything is possible and dreams come true. Imagine a place where you experience the magic of inspiration. Sounds too good to be true? Well, listen up, Ventura, because we're here to tell you about it. Now sit back, listen, and enjoy as we take you on a magical journey with your hosts, James and Julie. Take it away, team.
House of Magic Foundation for the Arts is proud to present...
This is the part where we all usually say... What is going on with that thing? It just repeats everywhere. Listen up, Ventura! That's where the...
Is that show?
That's the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Welcome in, by the way.
Hey.
it's Listen Up, Ventura, and it's me, R. Scott Bolton, and it's my good friend Marcus Redman in the house.
What up, man?
Marcus, good to see you, man.
Good to see you. Kid.
I was
fun.
Sitting here, you know, last week, Jim had to do the show by itself.
So that's what he meant by the show needed some juice.
That's what he needed some juice, because I was on vacation and he came in and was doing the show waiting for Julie. She showed up about three quarters through, but I gotta tell you, he didn't do badly.
Really?
Yeah. So today when I was sitting here and 4:30 comes around and I'm by myself, I'm thinking, oh, this is their revenge. But then you showed up.
Well, Jim sent me here. He said, you know, I want to do the show and I'd like you to come on and talk about some stuff. But Jim, I mean, I am not surprised that he did good on his own, because he basically talks to himself anyway.
That's what he did for 45 minutes. It was entertaining. It was actually fun.
Because, you know, it's not like a whole lot of people are listening to Jim when he talks. So if he's in here talking to himself, it's
still getting the voice out.
And that's kind of normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what he does.
Yeah, that's Jim.
That's Jim.
They'll be here shortly, I'm sure, but we'll wait to see what happens. But anyway, you got Marcus not. Here.
Yeah, man. I'm
Marcus,
here.
You've been busy.
I've been a little bit. A little bit busy.
Yeah.
Hey.
There's one now.
See? Yep. Where we got half of the team.
Yes, we do. We got Julie walking in.
We got Julie flying in.
Yeah, that's what we're probably getting today. Sorry.
Hey, Jules.
You know, here's the thing. Julie looks harried.
I haven't seen
you
in a while.
Marcus looks exhausted because he's been working hard. We're going to talk about that a little bit. And
I'm
still in my work clothes, so I look like a utility man.
He got the fancy earmuffs on.
They got the bling.
What are those
going.
Called? What are they, earphones?
They're just headphones. But yeah, but my brother bought me he thought I would look cute with some sparkly, blingy ones. So
he wasn't wrong.
Oh, really? Thanks. that makes it all worthwhile right there. Hi, Julie.
Hi.
You're
what's
right?
wrong, Julie?
Yeah, I was running because I was doing stuff up there and then talking to somebody, and all of a sudden I looked at the time and went, "Oh boy, I gotta get back there."
Well, you made it.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah, Jim is. you know, when it rains, it pours.
Please tell me he didn't break something else.
Well, no, my son broke his car though.
Uh oh.
Yeah. What happened?
Jacob and his Audi. Well. The thing just, like, totally died today. And so they took it to a garage to try to figure out what was going wrong with it. This thing, he's had it for 3 months. He paid, $4,000 for this car?
Right.
Should last more than 3 months.
I would think so.
Falling apart. I guess the guy sold him a big bag of you-know-what.
Nice.
So the car is totally dead. Doesn't work. They just
sucks.
Had it
that
died
does.
On the highway. So Jim had to go over to try to pick him up. You know, to get him, because he has to work.
Right.
And he was in Oxnard, working in Oxnard, because he does the store maintenance over there during the day. And then he closes the store here in Ventura. And so he had to hurry up and run home, shower, get dressed up, so that way he could be the store manager in Ventura. And his car's falling apart. And oh my goodness gracious, just one thing after another.
Sounds pretty hectic, and yeah, what a bummer. Too bad about his car.
That's
yeah,
bad.
He hasn't even finished paying it off yet.
You know what you probably should have said he's got this great car, he just doesn't like it. So if anybody's interested, yeah, give us a call here at the House of Magic. Oh,
dude, Audi is supposed to be a much better.
It's old. It is old, but this guy put all sorts of crap parts in it. And that's what's going on. So Jim's so pissed. He's like, I'm going to have this thing towed, and I'm going to dump it in the middle of his, you know, garage yard
yeah.
thing.
Good.
And, I mean, there's probably not a lot we can do because it is a secondhand car.
Yeah, right.
But he took this kid for a ride. And Jacob, if he'd listened to us, we had told him, have it checked out. Mm-hmm. But it was a friend of a friend who, you know, said, oh, this guy's really reliable. And then when he called the friend, well, what do you want me to do about it? You basically told me to get this car.
Vouched for the guy,
wow.
Yeah.
Because you vouched for him, and now you won't go back to the guy and say, hi, why did you do this to my friend? Because this is a really close personal friend. This is not just a, you know, oh, sort of, kind of not that
somebody
great.
He knows.
Right.
Is
yeah, the friend that referred him is very personally connected to him. So it really
what a mess.
Sucks.
Not cool.
That's bad all the way around. It's yeah, it's bad for relationships. It's bad for not having a car. It's just a drag.
It's bad for Audi.
Yeah, it's bad for Audi. Exactly, because you're right. Audis are
Audis
good
like
cars.
Audis, BMWs, Mercedes, those things, they can be like 50 years old and
yeah.
they're still running fine.
Blue
That's jacked
book,
up.
Yeah, the blue book value on this car was supposed to be what we paid for it.
Right.
Which was part of why Jim was kind of like, okay, you know, because that was kind of a lot of money for a 13-year-old car.
Mm-hmm.
But the blue book value held up.
Right.
But the guy, I guess none of the parts on the inside. It's all junk parts on the inside.
That's too bad.
It's jacked up.
So. Well, that's very
so anyhow,
depressing.
That's kind of depressing for the show, and we're not going to talk about that.
Yeah, let's turn it around. Let's talk about, first we got
live?
Marcus here.
I'll make it non-depressing. Where does he live? Give me an address.
Jacob can tell you it's in Oxnard.
Just write it down on a sheet of paper and slide it over here to me, and everybody will be very happy in a couple hours. We'll do it that way.
This is when you can tell he worked on Vengeance Unlimited.
Yeah. I know some folks that know some folks.
There you go.
Hey, by the way, Marcus,
yes.
We haven't talked to you in quite some time.
I know. I'm sorry.
What about your boy?
Which one?
Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Is he? Did you
Jonathan
see his performance for the Phantom? Did you actually watch the video?
I saw some of it. I saw his. He did the song. What is it? The one from Showstoppers. I saw that.
Oh,
performance.
All I Need Is a Girl.
And I saw that one. I saw a piece of the Phantom. I didn't get a chance to see all of it. But
well, before you leave
kid,
here tonight, we have to show you the whole thing because the ending will make the hair stand up in the back of your neck.
The kid,
incredible.
Met the kid,
huh?
He was a robot. He was like a functioning robot when it came to emotion. But I told the kid, I said, listen, you got all of this emotion going on. That's why it was robotic, because that's what happens. People don't. They have no control over their emotion, so they shut it all down because they have too much, because it's like a powder keg, it'll just mm-hmm. explode. So I would have to get him pissed off at me. But I mean, the kid has come full circle. It's what he's done is amazing.
He
it's
has
amazing.
And he's improving tremendously all the time. He's going to be doing now The King and I. He's going to be Luntha.
Oh.
In The King and I.
Fantastic show.
And Kralaham. He's going to be Kralaham or something like that too.
Dude. The kid has come leaps and bounds. I'm so proud of that dude. I'm
yeah.
so proud of him. He's a
He's learning how to do dance things. Oh, and I have a Kmart commercial to show you too.
Nice.
He did a Kmart commercial
nice.
For his school, and they got $3,000 for doing the commercial.
Really?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they got it was better than doing a lot of the school fundraisers because they made more money than they would
wow.
anywhere else.
That's phenomenal.
He's jumping in with both feet, and he's busy all the time. He's got stuff going every day of the week, and every now and then he kind of crashes. I'm tired.
But he's so going. Happy. That's what I love when you talk to him and stuff. He's so happy to be doing it.
Yeah.
And that's the payoff right there,
well,
you know?
That's what it's all about.
He's maturing pretty fast. That's a little bit of the you know, the trade-off is my little 16-year-old boy is really not a little 16-year-old boy anymore in a lot of different ways. Uh-huh. But, you know, the girls are really starting to appreciate him, too. Yeah. And that's been an interesting little flight of the butterfly.
That's a nice way to put it. Flight of the butterfly.
Johnny D has joined us, by the way. Johnny, you remember Marcus, of course, right?
Yes.
Well, Marcus. Dan, how are you, man?
I have actually missed you.
Oh, that's very sweet.
Seriously.
Thank you, sir. I've missed being here, and I've missed being around you as well. I know they used to give you a little heat, which is uncool.
Well, no more than what anybody else would.
Well, but before the last time, you know, we had booze. We had Sweet Lady Booze.
I was just saying, you know, yeah. I think that's the last time we saw Marcus, and I always wondered about that. Did we chase him off?
Sweet Lady
Friday Shot Day Show?
Ooh, are you kidding me? Booze.
No, seriously, I have missed you, and where I've really missed you is on TV.
On television?
Yes.
Wow. That's because he's making movies.
That's a long time of missing. I kind of walked away from that stuff.
Well, the shows that I saw you in, you were good. You were really, really good.
You seem really surprised.
No. Well, yeah, I am. The fact that, you're not doing it anymore, so.
Well, no, the problem that I personally had was that there's this thing where if you look like me, you're really seen in a very specific light. Mm-hmm. And that light could not be farther away from who I am and what my strengths are. So in order for me to actually do what I'm good at, mm-hmm. I had to step away from it and start creating things on my own. Because I just, you know, I come in there and they're happy because I'm really super dark. And I got this hair, and I look like I kill babies.
But people are breaking the mold nowadays. People aren't quite as predictable. I mean, a lot of actors on screen, you notice that they're not that stereotype per se as much as it was before.
No, you're right. It is much different. But I left before that happened.
No,
I took off.
When I look at you today, I say, man, this guy could really shred reggae.
Yes, right.
In a very positive manner.
And if I were to start playing music on my Spotify right now, mm-hmm. it would probably be Harry James.
I was going to say, nice. I don't think he's much, you're not much of a reggae kind
of
guy.
Well, see, it's a thing. The thing is, it's just there's expectation. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It makes sense. It's a visual medium. You know what I'm saying? So if you see something, you expect that thing that you see to correspond with whatever comes out.
It's a form of profiling.
Yeah, well, but I mean, it's expect. You know what I mean? It's like you don't hire like a 90-pound person to be a bouncer, right?
True.
Why would you do that? Because nobody's gonna be intimidated by that. It doesn't matter that the 90-pound person knows like five different types of martial arts and could like rip your arms off.
Have you met Scott's mama?
I have not met.
She's 90 pounds of kick-ass is what
she is. Oh, yeah, she's something else.
See, that's what I mean. You know, society is always much farther ahead of the quote-unquote industry. Mm-hmm. What's great about things that are happening independently is that it's not about the industry anymore. Film and Hollywood are not mutually exclusive anymore. You know what I mean? Film is about who you are and what you're doing and what you're about, and there's a place for that now. And that's why I started to gravitate toward writing and stuff like that.
Starlets are falling from the sky too quickly nowadays, so I don't think they have starlets like they used to. they come in a flash and they leave in a flash.
The system is flawed. And I keep telling people, remember Napster? Same thing's happening. It's the same thing. You know, you can't keep giving people really, really, really expensive crap and expecting them to not finally realize this is crap. It's just like Jacob's car. You could put the Audi symbol on it,
But if there's crap underneath the hood,
it
breaks down. You can't be like, oh, well, I'm going to get another Audi. No, it's crap. People are understanding now that just because it's really expensive and flashy and pretty, it can still be crap. So you think about your movie, the movie-going experience for the average person. It's a lot of work. You have to get up. You have to get parking. You have to pay for a babysitter. You have to get to the place. You have to buy the popcorn. You have to sit through the movie. So by the time you're actually sitting in the movie, you're already out like $100. Like, period, right? You're out $100. Then you sit there and you're like 30 minutes in. You're like, this is a crap movie. This movie's terrible. Why did I spend? They got your money. Yeah, it's too late now.
Yep. Yeah.
Whereas you can sit on your comfy couch and look at your big flat screen on the wall, and you can hit Netflix. And if you don't like it, you can change it to something else.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Change the channel.
So it's changing the way people view things, and then the indie world is grabbing hold of that, and the studio world is freaking out. That's why they throw all that money at stuff to try to keep people in the theaters. And it's not working, which is what you were saying, Julie. It's like the whole system's it's imploding. You can't keep spending that much. They're gonna run out of money because you can't keep doing that.
Well, I mean, nowadays with the flat screens at home, like you said, and all the comfort zones, for people like me, I'm a heck of a lot more comfortable sitting on my couch, being able to go to the bathroom as many times as I want, not having to deal with the guy behind me who's either laughing too loud or
right.
talking through or whatever's going on around you. It's just, I mean, unless there was something that really was awesome on the big screen, and right. the experience would be awesome on the big screen. I never want to go. Jim always, oh, you want to go? No, I don't really want to go to the movies. I'm not right. comfortable sitting in those chairs. I'm not comfortable. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
Very much so. And that's why the studios are throwing all kinds of money at stuff we've already seen. That's why there's the Spider-Man. Like, how many Spider-Mans have we...
Let's just talk about the new Baywatch remake. Really? They had to do a Baywatch movie?
Come on. See, here's what you have to understand. This is the thing. Okay, so there was a writer strike a while back. Right, mm-hmm. And the studios are like, well, screw the writers, because no one likes writers. So they were like, well, we don't need writers. We'll just take all the stuff we own already, and we'll just make that. So if you look and you see like the films that are coming out, and you wonder why everything's a reboot, or a remake, or a reimagining, or it's based on like a book. Or a video game, or a board game like Battleship was, which was like $400 million
and terrible.
Nothing.
Terrible.
This is what happened. We own all of this stuff. Who needs writers and original? Screw that. Let's just make the stuff that we already have, and then people will show. So we'll throw a bunch of money at it. Oh, hey, here's what we should do. We should remake Superman. Yeah, people like Superman, so there's another one.
It spoiled it for me, though, because I did not like Man of Steel at all. The originals, you couldn't redo that, and the way they tried to redo it and the way the story was, they lost me.
Like that, I mean, listen, what was it, Man of Steel?
Man of Steel.
Man of Steel actually worked financially. It worked. I never saw it because I know what happens. There's a dude on the planet. The planet blows up. They send the baby. The baby comes to Earth. The baby's real strong. Flies around. Wears a really goofy suit. And everybody thinks he's cool. I've seen the story. I know the story. It's been around since like 1939. I get it. I don't need to see it. You know what I mean? I don't have to. I know what happens. It's like Batman. There's a dude. His parents get shot. They die. He's really rich. He goes crazy. He puts on a bat suit. He goes and stops crime. I know this story. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need to keep seeing the same thing over and over again.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know. They have to do that because they feel like if they can throw that kind of money.
Well, as long as people go to see it, they're going to continue to do it, too.
Yeah,
and it's trickling down now. And this summer is a perfect example. It's trickling down.
This summer was the worst.
Exactly.
This summer was the worst. This summer was, they spent the most money this summer than they've ever spent. And they made the least amount of money they've ever made.
It was terrible. It's terrible.
You can't, you don't, and it just doesn't cost that much money to watch Matthew McConaughey sit in the corner and whittle a stick. It just doesn't cost that much. It just don't cost that much money. It's just,
they're getting away from the simplicity of what makes a movie great.
Right.
Because they're trying too hard to be, we're going to get so deep, and they're not hitting it anymore. People are getting bored.
The films I'm working on, I just had this conversation with my producer, and we was talking about billing, so he's like, okay, we're going to put, the debut film, and it's going to say Marcus Redman film. I said, I don't want to say that. I said, I want to say story. And the reason why is because all the heavy lifting got done while I was writing the story. That's where the work needs to happen. Mm-hmm. It needs to happen there. If it's not there, you can't cover it up with, expensive hoo-ha. It's still a crappy story.
Right.
You can't be like, there's this huge gap in the script that makes no sense. We won't rewrite it. Let's just get $5 million and have things blow up for 5 minutes.
That's exactly true.
Nobody will care. Yes, people care.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a new TV show that maybe if they did have things blow up, that might help it. Bad Judge.
Is this bad?
Oh, God, and not in a good way.
Yeah.
It's a sitcom, and, the art of the sitcom is pretty much dead anyway, and there's more evidence of it.
That's true. We should have more sitcoms because what we have is sits.
It cracks me up because the best sitcom on TV, in my opinion, is on Nick at Night, and it's Hot in Cleveland. And the other sitcoms that are trying on the big networks, they're just not... And I know that Big Bang Theory is huge. I don't get it myself. But it's just strange that this little nostalgic network has created this nostalgic type sitcom, and it works.
It's because sitcoms are unpopular right now.
They are.
So it's all about these single camera comedy things, which is great. The problem with single camera comedy, though, is it has to actually be funny.
That is important.
You can't, not to say that sitcoms shouldn't be funny. I mean, it's sitcom, so situation comedy.
Comedy's right there.
You can't just have a sit.
Yeah.
It's got to be both. But for the single camera comedy, you can't kind of get away with, we're not funny, we're irreverent, when you're neither. And it's just, it's not,
I think it's too much of the 15 minutes of fame. People get in front of a camera, they do something, they think, that was so funny, and then they think they're a star from there on in.
Well, that's part of the problem, is that everybody can be a star nowadays, and I mean star in quotes, of course, but the playing field has been leveled, much like it has in the music world.
Yeah.
I'm sure you can speak to this, Marcus, but the fact of the matter is that there was a time when, in order to get a movie made, you had to go to a studio.
Right.
Now, people are making their own movies every which way because they can, and not only is the production technology improved, so that every man can do it, but also the distribution methods have changed so that everybody can do it. And that's where the studios should be terrified.
They are.
As they should, just like the music companies are terrified of what happened with that.
Napster.
Yeah, exactly.
It's just like that book I told you I wanted to write. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. Right?
You should still write that book.
It's a good book. I think it should be like 500 pages of just that sentence. Just to drive the point home.
Scotty and I actually know someone who did and shouldn't have.
But all right, that's another story.
That's my opinion.
Let's play a quick song. This is Max Cash. He was here at Rough Edge Studios, and he performed this song, Old Road Alone, live here in the studio, even though I think this is the regular studio version. Never mind. Hey, we'll be right back. I'll figure it out one of these days.
Sorry I couldn't quit you, you know I tried before. But it always made its way around. Back to my door, rapping loudly. laughing like a clown. Well, I buried that love inside of a tomb. Pour all the covers down closed. Said a quick prayer and I felt satisfied. And I walked that old road. Came back to see about her once. Maybe there was something I could say. But everybody she ever told me she knew said she left yesterday. Back down the shadows of empty street where the gamblers call home. They throw their cards into the wind and then they walk that all road alone. Song playing on the radio tonight. Don't know who sang that melody, but it cut right through me like it knew me, like she was singing just for me. Well, I turned it up and I rolled away. Hot summer flying along. All that night in the thick of it all, going down that road alone. Sitting on a Kentucky front porch, watching the smoke rise in the hills. She looked into my eyes and she said, what God doesn't want, he kills. She took my hands into her hands. Old skin on old soft bones. She said, boy, always look for the sun when you walk that old road alone. Man at the border and he's stopping everybody. I pay him as I roll through. Another pole in some hog-eyed town. Pink women who make you feel so blue. And I'm lifting a load, heavy and a shaking, across a desert of storm. In the blinding heat, in my bare feet, I'm going down your road alone. Thank you.
And that was Max Cash performing Old Road Alone here on Listen Up Ventura. Jim has just joined us. Jim, how are you?
Yes, thank God it's Jim and not Bubba James this week.
I love, you know what? I love Bubba James. I absolutely love Bubba James.
Chair? I'll yes. get this chair. Do you want this chair? Do you want this chair?
Don't pamper him, Marcus. Don't pamper him.
He's standing and looking weird. I'm trying to help him out. You want some booze?
This is my favorite part where he tries to put the headphones on one hand.
It's weird. Are we back?
We're back.
Oh. Hello, people.
We are on air right now.
5 minutes of terrible air time.
It was great.
Watching Jim try to struggle.
I know, right?
It's the radio people expect from Rough Edge Studios.
Yeah. It was great for me because I had sweet lady booze.
Is it like this?
Exactly.
Well, last week you had Bubba James, Jim, and who else was here?
It's me, myself, and Irene.
Oh, yeah, I heard you totally did the show and talked to yourself.
Yes, he did.
He did great.
And he talked about himself, which you know when it comes to Jim, talking about himself can stretch that story for a long time.
Was he getting like intelligent answers?
I listened to the entire... Yeah, really. I listened to the entire show, and he did great. He was...
That was probably the most entertaining show.
Well, for him, at least, but...
Yeah, I just entertained myself.
I think he's great.
I don't think our audience wants to know how you were entertaining yourself.
Well, there were no other listeners. I was just doing it for me.
Yeah. That's it. That's all that matters.
Practicing the old elbow.
Yeah. Ba-na-ba-na-ba-na-ba.
Well, since Jim's here, I think we probably should go ahead and get this out of the way, don't you think?
Not yet.
And hold on to your seats, ladies and gentlemen. It is now time for Tony's Comedy Corner.
I guess I caught him off guard.
Hosted by...
You did.
Delicious.
Hey, Marcus, got any jokes you can tell us?
We can't.
They got to be PG.
Then no.
Johnny, any jokes?
At home.
That's right.
At home. Actually.
Julie, got anything?
We can't. Jim? We can't do these... We can't do this segment anymore because Delicious isn't with us.
We're going to fix that. When we move to the new digs, we're changing all of our... intros and outros.
He copyrighted that, and...
Oh, great. Now we owe a royalty fee?
Yeah, our first show we over at the new place is going to...
Who's Delicious?
Be, for the Friday Chate show, is going to have the Cristal.
Ooh.
Okay.
John can't be there.
Wife, how would you describe me? Husband, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. Wife... Excuse me, I'm getting all choked up. Wife, what does that mean? Husband, adorable, beautiful, cute, delightful, elegant, fashionable, gorgeous, and hot. Wife, aw, thank you. But what about IJK? Husband, I'm just kidding.
I knew it was going there.
That's
and
mean.
That's when the fight started.
Yeah. I heard one on, it was either Boardwalk Empire... I think it was Boardwalk Empire. So you don't expect a lot of great humor from Boardwalk Empire, right? But this was the joke. What did the man... man called a waiter over. He said, "Waiter, there's a button in my soup." I screwed that joke all up. I heard this on Boardwalk Empire. You don't expect to hear a lot of funny stuff on Boardwalk Empire. But this guy calls over the waiter and says, "Hey, waiter, there's a button in my salad." And the waiter says, "Don't worry, that's just part of the dressing." It wasn't even funny before I screwed it up. Marcus, you find something yet?
A husband and a wife are trying to set up a new password for their computer. The husband puts my private part. So think of it as my private part.
Got it.
And the wife falls on the ground laughing because on the screen it says, "Error, not long enough." Teacher, kids, what does chicken give you? Student, meat. Teacher, very good. Now, what does a pig give you? Student, bacon. Teacher, great. And what does a fat cow give you? Student, homework.
Da-da-dung.
All right, that's done.
That's
I think
good
our
place.
That's not right. That poor woman might be on a diet and working out. That ain't cool.
She's just trying to do her job.
She's trying to do her job.
Getting attacked like that.
That's just not right.
And
she
might have a thyroid problem.
That's very true. That could be a whole situation. That's unfortunate.
So, Marcus, where you been? Tell us what movies you're working on. You've told us you're working on movies, but we don't have any details.
Hey, can we talk about sitcoms first? And
we already did.
Oh.
Sorry.
Can we talk about Hollywood remaking movies, old movies, over and over again?
We already did.
How about Man of Steel?
Oh,
geez.
Were you listening?
Yeah.
Is that what happened? Are you just, like, listening to the show?
Just wanted to get up speed.
I thought you were using mentalism tricks to tell us what we'd been talking about.
Yeah.
In here.
It's this funny little thing called radio.
Yeah. And people are listening. That's the weird thing.
Yeah.
Sweet Lady Booze.
Movies.
Yes, sir. Oh, me. Yeah. Hi. Yeah.
You're the one making movies.
We're working on this film called Pacific Standard. And Pacific Standard is my personal homage to Woody Allen's film Manhattan. And it's very much in that vein, except for there's this really black, this big black guy in it. Because I'm not, you know, if
who
you look at the
part?
Landscape. I did write the whole thing. So, no, it's just a different type of film that I would not normally be seen in. But essentially, it's a romance about two people who are carrying a lot of emotional baggage that they don't want to deal with, so they date people much younger than themselves. They end up on a blind date. The date goes incredibly well, terrifies them both, and they get very afraid of one another, so they run off, and they start going after these younger paramours. But during that time, they end up becoming friends, and they find that they can trust one another with their most intimate secrets. And so it becomes about whether or not they want to continue going after this sort of fanciful, fake relationship that's not going anywhere, or if they actually want to deal with something that's real and worthwhile.
And when do they get naked?
This is the family show.
I'm doing this so that parents can, you know, watch out so they know when to hide their kids' eyes because, oh, that's the scene they talked about.
38.6 seconds in.
So long. Yeah. So once you see the trailer, I think parents will know that leave the kids and let them watch SpongeBob instead of this.
I love SpongeBob.
It's a very, it's like Manhattan. I mean, it's not gratuitous in any way. I'm not interested in that.
But now you told me, and you had a great reasoning for it, that you thought the greatest filmmaker of all time is Woody Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And your reasoning is because he's made, what, 50 films in 50 years, basically?
Basically,
and,
yes.
And many of them are, like, incredible Best Picture nominees or winners.
Yes.
And then you wrote and directed this movie?
Yes.
In a style of Woody Allen?
Yes.
Didn't you feel a little daunted with that, with your admiration of Woody Allen?
You know, the funny thing about it is that I feel as though I've paid homage while still saying what I want to say about relationships and romance and all of that stuff. So I'm not so much daunted as I... Doing the film, no. Putting the film in the hands of Erica Learson, who's the star of the film, who's worked in like 4 Woody Allen movies, that was daunting. The fact that I'm like dealing with like a Woody Allen alumna.
Yeah.
And she's literally on set with Woody in France shooting Magic in the Moonlight and reading my script. That was daunting.
It's also kind of cool, though.
It's cool now, yeah. But when it's happening, I can't sleep because I'm like,
sure.
I'm sure she's going to read this and she's going to be like, well, this is crap. But the fact that she actually read it and came back from France and came on board the film was a very big...
Damn right. Yeah, that's awesome.
It was a very, very...
Yeah, I used to always be told when we did like software or websites or things of that nature, you never copy your competitor. You look at what the big boys do.
Right.
And that's who you emulate. So that's kind of like with Marcus.
Yeah.
You're not going to sit there and emulate somebody who's doing what Marcus is doing. You're going to go after the big boy and look at what he's doing, because obviously it worked.
That's and true. Let's be honest. You know,
Woody, I don't like Woody Allen, though.
Yeah, well, there's people I've come to realize as I've sort of made my way through this whole trek of becoming the black Woody Allen. Lots of folks don't like him, which is fine. I'm told that's totally cool. I know you enjoy your, you know, Jackass. But,
and the funny thing is I really don't like you either.
I know. That's why it's nice that you enjoy your, you know, your Jackass.
Yeah.
You don't like Woody Allen, or you don't like Woody Allen movies? Because you can separate the two out.
Well, technically, you don't know Woody Allen, so you don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you don't like what you know of him in the news or as a person, or you don't like his films?
Who is he?
He's a choreographer.
He was the ant in Ants.
Oh, I loved.
Yes, he was. That's
right. I love that movie.
That was Woody Allen.
That was a great movie.
See? The little ant. The little ant, that was Woody Allen.
That could or couldn't or was
the
having
main
a nervous breakdown.
The main. Here's a fun fact.
I burnt him with a magnifying glass.
So Ants, right? Watch this. This is a fun fact. So Ants starred Woody Allen, right? And his romantic lead in that film was Sharon Stone. Woody gave Sharon Stone one of her very first roles in a film in 1980 called Stardust Memories.
Wow.
So you know,
that's a good fact.
Mentioning Sharon Stone and Woody all in the same sentence
just seems wrong.
Sharon.
Yeah, Sharon.
Yeah, you said it different.
I did?
Yeah. I don't know what you said, but it wasn't
I said it the Get a White Way.
Yeah, that's interesting.
But, this isn't Life According to Marcus, by the way.
No.
I wish it was. I missed that show.
Yeah, we're going to get it back on.
Yeah, we'll get it cooking.
We get into the new studio, we'll get it fired
up. That's what I want to hear.
So
I even remember where we left off.
Me too.
Yeah, they're starting a whole new religion.
Yep.
So it's going to be good.
Oh, yeah, you can't let that fall.
No.
That could be the
too much money in it.
Yeah.
Sweet Lady Booze.
So Pacific Standard, and so you said something about a trailer. Is that sometime in the near future?
Well, we're looking to put together some material to take to the American film market. We've put together a very, very cool cast. We want to do some stuff with some characters and sort of cast up is the term that they use. But I think, there's going to be, in the very near future, some teasers and clips showing up on social media to sort of let folks know what we're doing, what we're about, what's happening.
What percent completion are you with the film? Is it done?
The film is not done. We are still in production with the film. What we're doing is because it's an independent film, in the truest sense of the word, we're shooting things in sections. So the idea being is that if we can knock out these sections of the film and then bring together, you know, 50% of it, and then we can go to distributors, let them know what we're doing, and then it minimizes risk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because all of this stuff ultimately ends up costing money.
Sure.
And especially when you're shooting in Venice, California, which is an incredibly expensive place to shoot. But it's going to make the film look gorgeous. And I've got wonderful friends who have given me fantastic locations that are going to send my production value through the roof. We shot this past section we shot in Venice on Main Street. A friend of mine has container homes. You know, they take freight containers and mm-hmm. they turn them into housing. So my friend's got three freight containers and he's got this huge piece of land, and you've got this wonderful sort of courtyard and then like a container that's like completely tricked out, and then a living room, and then another container that's like a tricked out kitchen, and like it's just so much stuff. You can't even get the thing on your head. That's
he
just
snapped
so
them.
Weird.
He snapped them.
It's so strange. Did you
Are
say,
you okay?
You totally broke the wow. That's awesome.
You can see.
So wish I would have actually seen that.
I think he broke it along the duct tape, so it's probably not much
Dude,
of a warning.
You can just hold the ear to your head. This is so strange. How is that so difficult?
It's so entertaining.
Marcus,
weird.
It's Jim.
I graduated from the Evelyn Wood speed written course.
It's just weird because it's not that hard.
Ever since I took the course, my reading has improved 150%.
I don't even. That's like the worst
Cheech
segue.
Cheech and Chong.
We're not talking about. What the hell kind of segue is
well,
that?
Well, think about it. Woody
I'm
Allen,
the one
Cheech
drinking. I'm the one that should be. This is you at one point. You said, that is what I want. That was a choice.
It was hypnotism. Did you not listen to last week's show?
That was, you said, yes, that is what I want. So
after I said, sleep.
Awesome.
It didn't work this time.
Yeah,
it
totally
No, she's
work.
Out of my spell now.
Oh, is it? Okay,
see,
sorry.
Yeah.
There it is.
You're in a better place, Julie.
I don't know. Sleeping through it might have been better.
Yes.
Wow. So Pacific Standard's one movie you're working on. Are you working in others as well?
Yes. I have a phase of four films, and I'm calling this my romance phase because I'm doing four films that are romance films. So there's Pacific Standard, which is the first one out of the gate, and then there's a film called Good Clean Fun.
Love that one.
Good Clean Fun's fun. It's much more of a comedy, a straightforward comedy about a woman who has lived a perfect life and never done anything wrong, and she finds out that her husband is cheating on her. And so every bad impulse that she's ever had comes bubbling to the surface, but she doesn't know how to be bad. So she ends up enlisting the help of a local
black dude.
Cat burglar.
Sorry.
You gotta make it racial? You can't just tell a story?
No, if he made it racial, he would have called you something else.
Right. See?
Why is it that every movie you write has got a black person in it?
Because I'm black. That's.
I thought black writers like write movies with all black characters.
Some do.
Yeah.
I don't do that.
Okay.
I would have gone into more detail, but
one.
It's a different show.
Are you the guy that sits there in your own movies and goes, "Hey, I'm the black dude"?
That's so weird. So weird what you said. I don't even know what that means.
You know, what was the movie where there's two black guys in the movie together, and it's like, wait a minute, I'm the token black guy.
I actually remember that line.
You know what's funny about that? What was funny about that is that you had this like laugh of recognition, and Scott looked at you like, I don't know what you're talking about.
I was going to say, I wish the audience could see our reactions, our faces,
so
because
weird.
I'm watching Marcus look at you like what's wrong with this man?
But you know what? I do know the movie you're talking about.
Yes.
See?
And Marcus, by the way, created me.
Really?
Yes.
Oh,
during
Bubba James?
No. During one of our acting classes.
Yeah, he didn't create this. He tried to create something else.
He tried to create a racist. During one of the acting classes, he made me be a racist. And so I was talking with my daughter on film.
Remember, it's a PG show.
Yes. And so I was like, I don't care who he is. I don't want you marrying that black guy. And Marcus is like, oh, cut. Wait a minute. Nope, cut. You cannot use the word black. You cannot use the word African-American. He made me say the word.
I made him say all.
All of them.
That's what he does. He was talking about making your son angry earlier to get him to emote.
Yes. Now I can't stop.
You have to get to the you can't fake. See, this is the problem with acting. People think actors are liars, and it's actually quite the opposite. What you're looking for is truth. You have to get to the meat. You got to get in the marrow of the stuff. You can't get in the marrow if you're sugarcoating things.
Yeah, but with some people, Marcus, there's a reason why we keep him that way.
Yeah, I know, but he took the class. He should have sat out. What was the film? The Remember the Titans, which was supposed to be this big thing. It was set in the 70s, and there was like the black coach and the white team. And no one, nowhere, said the N-word, which was offensive to me. And the reason why it was offensive to me, because if you're going to make this whole thing about racism, then show some racism. You know what I mean? Like, I don't like you, you darker skinned person. Like, no one says that. Let's just, like, you know, let's just do it. If we're going to do it, let's just do it. If we're not going to do it, then, you know, don't do it.
Pick something else to talk about.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the same issue with smoking in the movies. People are, you know, there are all these groups that don't want you smoking in the movies. But if I want a character to smoke, he's going to smoke.
And smoke.
Yeah, exactly.
Actually smoke the thing.
Right. Right.
If you can't handle it, don't
do it.
I know
it's not a, you know, maybe it's not a good thing because he's smoking, but that's not the point. The point is that's what the character does, and that's what he should be.
You're looking for truth. You're always looking for truth in these things, and when it's not, the audience knows. You know it. You can see it.
Truth, dare, double dare, promise or repeat.
That's why I always play a black guy in my films, because people will know if I'm not playing a black guy. They'll be like, "That's a black dude, and he's not playing a black dude, and that's weird."
You know, we just went full circle.
See what I'm saying?
You said truth.
Truth.
Justice. The American way, which brings us back to Superman.
Actually, I didn't say the American way.
I know I
had. But now we're there. And now we're here. Superman.
This is what John does. Like. He makes these bizarre segues that They're like, you know when you look at a tree with no leaves on it and it's got all those little tiny branches reaching out?
Right.
That's what John's reaching for. Everybody else is in the trunk, but John's up in this branch up around the corner somewhere.
Hey, you know what?
I even have my own sound effects.
You know what? I'd like to hear one.
What the?
Thank you, John.
You're welcome.
Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thanks for that, Marcus. I appreciate
that. That was 5 seconds of the worst airtime I've ever heard.
You told those horrible jokes, but you're gonna give him flat for like one tiny little sound effect.
Oh wait, Johnny, do that sound effect I hate.
That is awesome.
That's not it. That was your impression good. Of a tribble. That's not. It's not even it.
Still fantastic.
It's where you shake your jowls and it makes it sound like the elephant died.
Oh, you mean this one?
No, that's not even
this one.
That one.
Oh, that one hurt.
Is it?
It makes me want to go shoot walrus.
It makes
the
you
first.
Want, I wish they want to shoot walrus.
The
it
first
really
two were like awesome.
I think they're fantastic.
Yeah. Why did you lead off with that first one that sounded like your
Brad's
cat ran
his...
The first one was supposed to be like tire screeching.
No, not that one, the tribble.
It was horrible. Oh. I thought it was a cat getting his tail run over.
I was.
But the other ones were awesome.
I'm glad the third one didn't go any longer because the third one...
Yeah.
Disturbing?
No, just it...
Brought back memories.
Not right for a PG show, is what I'm saying.
I don't disagree.
If anyone's listening and you remember the third sound effect, you know what I'm talking about.
Okay, so Pacific Standard, good, clean, fun, what else?
Unlovable.
Unlovable.
Which is a drama. It's a drama about a young woman with living with HIV who's never really had a full life, and then she encounters a man who she has never known. She's only lived in this small rural area. She encounters a man she's never known. He falls for her without knowing that she has HIV. So that becomes, you know, how long can that continue? And then the last one is a companion piece to Pacific Standard called Unrequited. And Unrequited is the story of a divorced guy who falls madly in love with a heartbroken girl. And as much as he wants to be able to save that girl, and as much as she wants to be saved, it's not in the cards because she's not in the right place for it and he's not in the right place for it, hence the title Unrequited. So Unrequited and Unlovable are also a part of my Un series. So I will make three films with Un. I just don't know what the third. I don't know what the third Un is.
What happened to the one about the theater group?
Oh, that might be the third Un. I think I'm going to retitle that one. But that is, yes, that is also in process.
What was that titled?
It's called Here and Now, right now. But Here and Now is about a failed actor who comes back to his hometown and directs a community theater play.
It could be Un Now.
Could be Un Now?
Yeah.
Unproduced.
Like, it's not now, but later.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah. I'll take that into consideration.
Just trying to help you out.
Unlabored. I appreciate it. Hmm.
And you've written all, these are all your scripts that you've written?
Yeah,
you've been busy.
I went into a cave when I decided to write stuff and just decided to create material. It's a much more proactive situation than sitting around waiting for the phone to ring, you know what I mean? So I decided I would write and I would create things for myself and I would find teams that would believe in what I've created and become a part of those things and make them reality. And, you know, it's not easy, but neither is sitting around waiting by the phone and going on auditions or whatever. And, you know, somebody said to me, it's like, you know, it's not like one is easier than the other. It's just different. It's the same amount of work. It's just, what's your end game? If your end game is to just wait around to get picked, then you got to hustle and hustle and hustle so you're the one that gets picked. If your end game is to actually have something to say, then you've got to push and push and push to get someone to listen. And so I decided I'd rather push and have someone to listen because I'd rather it be about
what
something that I have to say. No one's talking to you anyway, so it's much more important to me that, you know, I get stories out there that I have something to say within than to just, you know, play, you know, thug member number three. Because I'm not good at it anyways.
I think that's great. I love that. Well, it's good to see you again. It's been too long.
Yes.
And we need to get Life with Marcus back on the air.
We will get that cooking.
And what is the Church of?
Unnow.
No.
It's the Church of Enjoy What You Do.
That's right.
Enjoy. Well, I thought that was the theme song.
That is the theme song.
Enjoy. But didn't we come up with a different name?
I can't. Do you remember it?
The Church of Freedom.
Church of Free. Yeah, but that sounds so generic.
That's too patriotic.
All right. Well, we're going to have to watch the tape, listen to the tapes. And
The Church of Freedom, I think we got caught up in the moment, you know? But I think we need something a little more. That's why I think that the Wham song should be our gospel.
All right, so if anyone also listens to Life According to Marcus, the next time we're on the air,
we shall be
come
back.
Up with a name.
And you can listen to all the old shows. They're still up there on Rough Edge FM. So
there we go.
Just dig them up. You can listen to them all there.
Boomhauser.
Right.
Yeah, I said it. Huh? I'm sticking with it. Don't look at me weird. I'm not changing my mind.
It's just, you got to get over Doogie Howser. It's done.
Said Boomhauser.
Yeah, but it's got Hauser in it.
So weird.
It just,
you know what?
It just shows that you're still living in the past.
Nobody was thinking that except for you. And
you're living in the past
and made it weird for everybody in the room.
You got to come to the future.
And anyone's listening,
come join us.
Come to the future.
Yes.
That's weird.
Join us.
That's just strange.
There's Life According to Marcus right there. This is what I miss. This is what I miss.
He says these things out of his. I know you think them first. Because that's just the way it works. Your brain thinks something, and then you say it.
You think he thinks?
Everybody does, but there's like a thing. Like, most people will think something really stupid, and then they'll go, right around the eye level. And they'll go, I'm gonna rephrase. And by the time it comes out, it makes a little bit of sense. But you, no.
Goes right for the mouth.
Right straight through.
Yep. I had a walrus. It's like, what?
John and I are in good company.
Yeah. What?
Weird.
Oh. Okay,
only when I'm Bubba James, though.
House of Magic.
No.
Dead Zone starting tomorrow, right?
Friday. Yes, tomorrow.
That would be tomorrow. Yeah.
Oh, sweet. First Dead Zone.
Yeah. Poor Nelson, his wife's probably going to be induced tomorrow.
Oh, no.
Oh, are you serious?
I mean, yay, but just talk about timing.
Wow.
Yeah, little Lincoln is taking his time.
Speaking of time, what time does it start?
7 p.m.
Yeah, I don't know.
That was a great segue. That was nice.
Did you hear that next Tuesday we're getting DSL?
I heard it now.
In the new building.
Oh, she was telling me that that moving in has begun and that things are going over there.
We could take it down on Wednesday and get it in there and have our first show on Thursday.
You think so?
We could.
Do it all.
We'll talk.
At the new spot?
Yeah.
New spot's cool, man.
I can't wait. I've driven out by the outside, and it looks incredible, and I'm anxious to get in there. Well, we'll talk.
Yeah. You want to come to the inaugural show?
Yeah.
We're opening a bottle of Cristal for the Friday Shot Day show.
Oh, that's not a good idea.
The most important piece of equipment in here that needs to go in there first
is the bottle of Cristal.
Refrigerator.
No, that's the bottle of Cristal is in our refrigerator at home.
Oh, good.
We bought that bottle when I sold the software company.
Right.
And we were going to pop it to celebrate when we officially opened the House of Magic.
Right.
It has been sitting in our refrigerator for 3 years. It is now at its prime.
This is the year. 2014 was the peak year.
That was the peak year for it.
Which explains why we've made this move.
You had to.
Okay, we had to pop the bottle.
But here's the thing. Cristal, in my remembrance of it, only has like 4 glasses a bottle.
Yeah, and it's about $1,000 bottle of champagne.
Yeah.
This year it's worth about $1,000.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm just saying.
But then it goes downhill, so it's like open it.
You open it now and enjoy it,
or forget it, it's done.
But I'm just saying, just be aware, like, it's literally like 4 of these is the entire bottle.
Well, it'll be little. We'll do shot glasses or something.
Yeah, everybody gets
little 1 ounce cups. They'll work for us all.
Or,
not sure I want to let them open up 1,000 bottles.
Well, this is what I'm saying. Or you pick 4 people. And you have those 4 people enjoy it, and you tell everybody else there's some Bud Light in the back. You can pretend. You can, you know, I mean, it's Cristal. You can't, you know.
I like the way he thinks, as long as I'm one of the 4 people. Otherwise, I like that. Completely against that.
You invite me over to a christening, and what do you give me? Bud Light?
Well, it could be Bud Light Lime.
Butterita.
Or what is it, the Clemento Bud Light?
Oh, man. Clamato. I can't even deal with that stuff.
You see the new one?
No.
It's Clamato Caesar, and it's Clamato and
the
bacon.
Caesar salad?
It's Clamato and bacon.
Why can't people just leave? What's the thing with the, they got all these potato chips that taste like coffee and whatnot? Like, leave it alone.
Espresso potato chips?
It's perfectly fine. You get potatoes and some salt, and it's fine. It doesn't need to taste like pizza. If I want pizza, I'll get pizza.
Right. They had,
if I want a cappuccino, I go to Starbucks, I get a cappuccino. I don't need a potato chip.
Like waffles and chicken.
That's what I mean.
Waffles and chicken.
If I want a waffle and a piece of chicken, I'll go get a waffle and a piece of chicken. I don't need a... Like, I don't understand the point of taking, like, a potato chip.
Would that be fried chicken?
Flavors. I don't know, because I don't eat that kind of crap. You might know, but see how you see what happens? You see what he does? See,
yes, I know. He's
I'm trying to. I'm trying to, like, talk and, like, you know. And,
we
and
had this conversation the other night.
I need some inspiration.
He loves to instigate.
He likes to kick things off. That's weird, though. How those?
Because I want... I want to go. I need inspiration.
How those earphones working out for you?
Yeah, pretty good now.
That's nice.
Yeah.
The duct tape worked back in. All right, it's time for this. I should have played the other one.
Oh, Ken would have loved you.
And now it's time for Wisdom with Julie.
Nice.
On Listen Up, Ventura.
The new place has air conditioning throughout.
That don't help me now,
Marcus,
Jen.
No, it doesn't.
This is in honor
this is
of
for you.
Aww. Okay, because you will understand this as soon as I say it. And Jim, take notes.
Wow.
If you spend every day acting like you're still trying to catch her, you will never lose her.
That's wise.
That's deep.
That's wise.
What does that mean?
And therein lies the problem.
I get tired of chasing after her. It's like, you know what? It's your turn.
Nah, you know what she's saying? This is what she's saying. She's saying, and I actually wrote this in a thing before, and every woman understood it, and every guy was like, ah. Just because you married her doesn't mean she's still not your girlfriend.
Yeah, like you didn't break up with her because you got married.
There you go.
Yeah, I like that. That's fine.
There you go. That's what it is. So whatever you would do for your girlfriend, that's what you should be doing for your wife.
But what if you already have a girlfriend?
What if I cheated on my girlfriend?
With your other girlfriend.
Got nothing. Or, in his case, a boyfriend.
Whoa. Was she talking to you?
I don't think so.
Oh.
I've been away a while. You want to tell me something?
Before I get even deeper into trouble, I think it's time. It's a wrap.
Really? Already?
Yeah.
We just started.
I'm going home.
All right. We're closing out with Fool's Paradise. This is Broken Man. We'll see you next time. Marcus, come back soon.
Yes, absolutely.
We need a Life with Marcus back. And
absolutely.
Julie, good to see you again. Jim, yeah, you know, whatever.
Yeah, I'll see you tomorrow.
Marcus, you should come do the Friday Shout Day show with us.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Okay, that sounds good.
Look how hard that was.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's a wrap.
This has been a Rough Edge Studios production.